Bullying. It's seen as a normal part of growing up, but does it have to be? What are the long-term effects? Today on Talk of Alaska, we're exploring bullying, how to prevent it, and ways the community can help people heal from it. We'll hear from young people about their experiences and discuss what works and what doesn't when trying to stop it.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Do you need health insurance for next year? Did you know Alaska's individual market health insurance rates have dropped by more than 20% for 2018? More than 90% of Alaskans who sign up at healthcare.gov are eligible for tax credits to help pay the costs. Open enrollment is November 1st through December 15th of this year. Check out healthcare.gov to find out what your insurance options are for 2018. This message sponsored by the Alaska Division of Insurance.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
This is Talk of Alaska. I'm Ann Hillman. Today, we're talking about bullying, why it matters, and how to prevent it. This show is part of Alaska Public Media's Solutions Desk. This month, we're exploring ways in which young people are supporting each other. And my guests today on Talk of Alaska are Lindsay Hyduke with Anchorage Youth Development Coalition. And also in the studio, I have two young folks who are both working on bullying prevention campaigns, Olive Sponholtz, a senior at West High who recently attended an international conference on bullying, and Madison Dooley, a ninth grader who's homeschooled. So thank you all three for being here. For the listeners, please join the conversation. Have you been bullied? How did you react? Maybe did you do the bullying yourself? Join the conversation by calling 550-8422 in Anchorage or 1-800-478-8255 statewide. You can also email talk@alaskapublic.org. So, Olive, what exactly is bullying?
Bullying is unwanted, intentional aggression that has the potential to be repeated over time, and it also involves a power imbalance, and that can be perceived or real.
So can you give an example of what that would be? That's pretty
typical. Yeah, so you could have a boss bullying a employee, or you could have a power imbalance in high school with a senior and a freshman in high school. It's sort of just the playing fields aren't level.
Okay. And so is it always the one with more power who's bullying the other one?
That's usually the case.
Okay. So, Madison, are there different types of bullying? Like, is it just calling names, or what does it consist of?
Bullying can be physical and in person, or it can be online, such as cyberbullying. It really is just has the three things, where it's unwanted aggressive behavior, intended to harm, and repeated, or has the potential to be repeated, and there's a power imbalance. So it can be in many different forms, so it's just bullying if it has the three things. It doesn't matter where it happens or what is happening.
Okay. So both of you have repeated a couple times, like, this potential to be repeated. Why is that important, Olive?
Well, you can have a one-time name calling, and we wouldn't necessarily refer to that as bullying. But if it happens over time and it's repeated, then we would tend to consider that bullying.
Does the repeating just sort of amplify the effect, Lindsay?
Yeah, so something that's a little bit unique about bullying, when you think of just other forms of harassment or that kind of violence, is that it can be something that seems small. It seems like, oh, well, you know, they took my book again. But if it's repeated, it becomes really more of that psychological power struggle. So it can have those bigger impacts than, oh, someone took my book once, but they take it every class. So it becomes more than just one instance.
And is that, like, it just kind of builds up a fear, like, you don't know when it's going to happen again, that sort of thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how common is this?
So bullying is actually very common, and many people really just think of it as, oh, it's a normal part of growing up. But it really doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be, because it leads to long-term impacts. So when we look at our community in Anchorage, we know that about 1 in 5 young people experience bullying, and that's from school data, really looking at what young people are self-reporting. So 1 in 5.
And self-reporting through?
There's a survey, the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, that happens every 2 years. So through that, we've seen a pretty steady 1 in 5 youth for the past few years.
Okay.
And we'll be getting the latest results out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
We also did a community survey just as our own organization and our coalition. And we found that households, so this is not just youth, this is adults of all ages. And we asked households if they've had anyone in their household experience bullying within the last year, and that was 1 in 4. So we know that 1 in 5 youth experience bullying through the schools, and 1 in 4 households, so encompassing all ages, have had instances of bullying in their lives in the last year.
So you kind of briefly touched on this, but the thing is, I mean, 1 in 5 youth, so it really is pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we be concerned?
Well, one of the reasons our organization has decided to work on this and work on preventing bullying is because of the consequences of it. We were looking and researching some of the mental health impacts that youth are experiencing in our community, and bullying is a cause to some long-term poor mental health outcomes. And, you know, in the short term, some of the impacts are around isolation or lack of self-esteem, lack of being accepted, anger, withdrawal, or even truancy. It's also one of the biggest reasons that children say they don't want to attend school, and they may drop out or transfer schools. But it has long-term impacts, and the impacts are not just on the person who experiences the bullying. It can be the person actually perpetrating the bullying, as well as the bystanders. So it's really everyone involved, and those impacts can be their range, and they could be everything from depression, anxiety, and kind of poor mental health, but it may also be linked to higher tendencies to use alcohol or drug abuse or even criminal convictions. So it has these lasting impacts in people's lives.
Olive, you yourself have experiences with bullying. Could you talk about them, please?
Yeah, so I was bullied throughout elementary and middle school by 2 separate groups of girls who I considered to be my friends, which made it even more difficult to come forward because I wanted them to see me as cool, and I wanted to fit in with them, and I changed a lot about myself to fit in with them, and that included even sometimes partaking in bullying behavior. So I was friends with a girl in elementary school who we were both kind of a little different, and we would write and choreograph our own musicals on the playground.
That's cool.
But the popular girls at school didn't really like that, and so I was very quick to leave my friend and join this group of girls who treated me awfully, and it was really hard to get away and to find the courage to come forward and ask for help. But once I did, it was one of the best decisions that I've ever made, because feeling so afraid for so long just to be with your friends is not something that anyone should have to experience. And once I was finally free of that fear, it felt a lot better.
Who did you ask?
I talked to my mom, and I also talked to my school counselor.
And what kind of advice did they give you?
Well, it was mostly about finding new friends.
Changing definitions of friends, maybe?
Yeah. It was just kind of breaking away from that and just understanding that I didn't need to have these girls around in my life to make me feel fulfilled.
Okay. And what happened to your previous friend, like the one who you were hanging out with?
I still see her all the time. She goes to my school now. She's I'm really proud of her because she was able to resist that for so long. She was bullied herself too, but she's just really individualistic and just finding her own way in life, and that's something that's really inspiring to me.
All right, and we already have a caller. Let's welcome William from Wasilla.
So I'm just curious why you were not able to come up with a male representative on your panel to, you know, give at least that perspective, because a lot of the issues we've got going on with the sexual assault that's in all the news, males are a big part of that. And my thoughts on that from my life experience, and I'm 72 now, is that this stuff starts in grade school, about third or fourth grade, with guys making off-color jokes and seeing what kind of reaction they get from the girls, mm-hmm. and also approval from their peers. And male bonding is all mighty important with people who behave in this way. So I got I could write a book on my experiences with bullying, because every time I went to another job, it was, okay, who's going to be the bully? They're there. They ain't going to go away. Who are they?
All through adulthood.
And, you know, my mother used to run a rest home, and she said she saw it in people right up to the time they died, bullying each other, being obnoxious, being unpleasant and overbearing and all of the stuff. And I can guarantee you that every one of these people, these males, mm-hmm. who've been charged with sexual assault or improper sexual advances, have been bullies in their childhood. They didn't just start doing this when they were adults. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it all their life.
So when you were a young person, I guess to answer quickly your question as to why there's no male representatives on this panel is, honestly, it's 10 a.m. and finding a young person who's free at 10 a.m. to come onto radio is really difficult. And so in my search, nobody stepped forward. But it's a call-in program with the hope that people will call in and share their own personal experiences. So would you be willing to talk a little bit about what it was like for you as a young person?
Well, my issue is probably a lot different than most people, because I was raised back in the 50s in what we call welfare homes. They call it foster homes. Now, mm-hmm. when I was in 13 of them, guess how many schools I went to? I went to 13 different schools. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're the new kid anyway, so you already start out at the bottom of the heap. And so that carried on over into employment. Mm-hmm. So what bullying does is it puts you in a tube, in a box. And every time it happens again with different people, it doesn't matter. It puts you right back in that box if you found yourself in the first time you encountered bullying. And how do you deal with it? Do you rise up and physically assault that person? What do? Take a weapon with you? I did that one time at school. I was so full of hate and anger that I wanted to do this one person in. He just was relentless mm-hmm. in the way that he treated me. So that bullying thing, that my daughter got bullied in school, and it was egged on by a bunch of kids that wanted to see two girls fight, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. This was in, I think she was in the sixth grade when this happened. And it's a part of humanity, and it just galls me when I see all this stuff out there. And people try to get a career going, and they sacrifice themselves to get a career going. Mm-hmm. I went through that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, every time I see kids getting bullied, I get angry, because it brings back all of my experiences. Those experiences don't go away. Mm-hmm. And it's just like being in combat. You never know when you're going to get shot at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was hoping to jump to Lindsay, who can respond to a bit about what you were saying in terms of, well, how do you react? What is a way that we can react to bullying that's productive, that maybe helps change the behavior and change the relationship? So, Lindsay, can you feed into this a little, please?
Sure. Well, William, thank you for sharing your experience. It sounds like, unfortunately, a common experience I think many people would have, in that bullying doesn't go away. When you turn 18, you're not done with bullying. It's not just a kid thing. And so there's a few different things I can talk about. But first, with young adults or with adults in general, bullying is definitely still a dynamic about that power imbalance where people are asserting themselves. And often that can be more easily seen in the workplace rather than just in community settings or family and friend settings. So workplace bullying is an issue that there are opportunities to really work on office culture and recognizing that policies and practices need to be in place to adequately address bullying issues, but that the staff need to be trained to identify what bullying is in the office setting so that it is a behavior that isn't tolerated and has some clear consequences. We in our in the community are working on promoting Green Dot bystander intervention trainings for adults, and this is really looking at the spectrum of interpersonal violence. So that's everything from bullying to sexual assault and assault, and the range that goes along with it. And we're really focusing on bystanders. So those are people who are seeing the situation happening, because often with incidences of bullying, you need an audience. The person who is doing the act is gaining that power by having their peers, their friends, their coworkers see the situation and not step in. And research has found that if there's some intervention that happens, it stops about 50% of the bullying that at the time. And maybe if that's more consistent, it would actually reduce the incidences of bullying that happen. But we've also found that adults feel less likely to intervene because they just don't quite know how to. So doing this training and really talking and working and supporting people to work through what you would do if you saw these scenarios is an opportunity to help reduce it among adults.
Does that work with younger kids too? Like in elementary school, people stepping in and doing things?
It does. It's interesting to really point out that for really young kids, it's often adults in the situation, so teachers or parents, who can step in and show the model the right behavior. And it's hard to put that on a really young kid in elementary school to know exactly what to do mm-hmm. without having that kind of adult support in modeling that best behavior. If you get to teens, it becomes more prominent that if your peers, if in Olive's case, if that group of friends, if some of the other girls said, hey, that's not funny, it might have reduced that behavior. So peers really have a pivotal role in it. But in the school setting, especially for really young students, that's why it's really important for our school district to have some solid policies and practices in place. And right now, I mean, our school administrators really do step in. There mm-hmm. are opportunities to change school policy to really focus in and address bullying itself. But just one thing to note, because I know in the community we might get calls about school district incidences, but the school district has a policy where they don't share consequences or discipline with another student with maybe other parents. So other parents might think, well, nothing happened, but it may have happened even if you didn't learn and get that back.
Okay. And while we're talking about young kids and how they're reacting to certain instances, I'd like to play a story from the Youth Voice Alaska podcast that was created by some young folks here in town. They have three episodes of stories about bullying and positive response to it. And this segment is Jaden's story.
When I was in third grade, I was about 8 or 9, and I hung out with a group of guy friends because I was more or less ostracized from the girl community of my third grade class because I was more on the tomboy side, and that didn't sit well with them. So other reasons, I just kind of didn't hang out with them. So I had these guy friends I talked to. And one day we were just talking casually, and it went on to the topic of food, and which kind of led into donuts. And I told them that I don't really like donuts. I never really have, and I still don't. And one of the boys just kind of looks at me, and I kind of stare back, and He says, well, I thought all fat kids like donuts. And so they kind of laughed at it. And at this age, you're not really self-conscious. And I knew I was a chubby kid, but I never really comprehended the fact that other people thought I was a chubby kid. And so this is the first time I actually looked at myself and looked down on myself. And so one of the other kids chimes in laughing, like, hey, you're a donut girl. That's your donut girl. And so this is the start of this nickname. And at first I went along with it because it made them, my friends, happy. And I mean, as long as it made them happy, it couldn't be that bad. So I went along with it, didn't pretend it didn't bother me. I tricked myself into thinking that. And so days go by, still the name stuck. I thought it would go away, but it didn't. And it was like my name was no longer Jaden. My name was Donut Girl. And every time they said it, I felt more and more ashamed of myself, as if this is who I was. My identity was stripped from me. And so a few weeks pass, and I was on the playground. And we were talking, and the name got brought up again. And they kept saying it, and the joking and the friendliness of it all kind of slowly disappeared into taunting, and it started getting harsh, and it hurt more than it usually did. And I couldn't hide it anymore, and I broke, and I ran away, and this is what they wanted, a reaction. And so they chased me. I mean, I was trying to run away, but where can you run on a playground, an open playground for that matter? And I didn't know what to do, so I just kept running. And the thing that went through my mind is, anywhere is better than this moment right now. And before I knew it, this kid runs past me. He just go, I got it. And so I run past him, and I look back, and he pulls all these karate moves, flailing his arms, kicking his leg, making insane Jackie Chan noises. Like, they're the stupidest thing I've ever seen, but distracted them enough for me to run away and hide behind a playground set. And I realized that this kid is like the third grade idol of my class. He was smart, he was funny, he was athletic, everyone loved him. And the boys kind of slowly went away because they were just like, you're stupid, just leave us alone. And the boy came over and we talked, and this is the moment where I realized that I didn't want him to see me like Donut Girl. I didn't want him to see me as that, and I didn't want to be known as that anymore. I didn't want to be the person that had to be saved, and him having to reach out to me hurt my pride, because I was raised as to be independent. So I felt weak, and I thought that was the end of it. This was the end. And so the next day, I walked into class with the mentality of, I'm going to obliterate all of you. And I upped my ante on homework, things I haven't really done before. I never really asked questions, kind of stayed silent, and I was an average student. And so I upped my ante on homework. I answered questions left and right correctly. I did all my assignments, and soon the Donut Girl name kind of slowly faded away. It deleted itself. And I became the smart girl, the girl that everyone came to for problems. And I had worked so fervently, I had worked so competitively, that the teacher started noticing me, and they put me into the Ignite program, the enrichment program that elementary schoolers had. And this is what I wanted. And so this led me into honors classes and AP classes later on in my life. And this whole incident kind of taught me that you're not the names that people call you. You are more, and you can be more than those titles. Thank you.
And that was Jaden's story. You can actually listen to all three podcasts from Youth Voiced Alaska on the Talk of Alaska page at alaskapublic.org. Listeners, what did Jaden's story make you feel? She really leveraged the bullying and made something good come out of it. Has something like that happened to you? Join the conversation by calling 550-8422. Statewide, it's 1-800-478-8255, or email talk@alaskapublic.org. So Jaden's story touches on so many different things. Olive, in Jaden's story, she was bullied at first for being overweight. Is that pretty common?
Yeah, at the International Bullying Prevention Conference, one of the some of the information that was presented was that 50% of bullying-related incidents are related to weight, which I found really interesting. And it doesn't always have to be overweight. I, for instance, was bullied for being underweight. People would call me really nasty names and suggest that I had an eating disorder when I didn't. It was just my physique. But I feel like kids are very quick to pick out what makes you different and kind of expose that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then a young man stepped in. I mean, is that, we were talking about interventions before and kind of the popular kid stood up for her, but that made her feel worse. Madison, like, what were your reactions to that situation?
At first, when she said that someone helped and stepped in with her, I was really proud. I was really happy. People should really step up. And most youth who see other youths standing up are more likely to intervene. It's kind of, oh, he did that, so I can do that too. It's okay. Like, I'm not going to die if I help someone, which is really great. But it was interesting to see that she was upset about that. But I can completely understand that she was upset and she felt weak because she couldn't do it alone. But that's a really big issue with bullying is you can't always do it alone. You need to ask for help and you need to be open to solutions to the problem.
All right. And then ultimately what came from it is she started standing up for herself and she became this amazing role model. Lindsay, good things can come from this?
Well, there are so many incidences of bullying that there's no one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing to hear that she was able to find her power in that. I would imagine that having support, even though she felt bad about the person intervening and felt weak, that gave her that opportunity to not only kind of make her own space, but it also was adults recognizing her strength, her intelligence, her skills, and really having those other supportive adults in her life to help move her through and help her find her full being is really another critical part of that story.
I feel like that, so I've been reading a lot about resilience and I've been reading a lot about how do you grow from traumatic experiences. And so often when talking about growth from trauma, it always goes back to I had the supportive grandma, I had the supportive teacher. That seems so simple, but that's really like having one supportive adult or three supportive adults can really make that big of a difference.
It really does. That is something that our coalition, the Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, really focuses on making sure that adults that are working with youth or involved with youth recognize and understand their power in being that supportive adult. So many people at home may not have parents or caregivers who can be that, who they don't feel comfortable going to say, hey, I'm being bullied, here's what's happening. For a number of reasons, parents or caregivers could react by taking away your smartphone if it's, cyberbullying, or they might, tell you to fight back, and that's not the right reaction either. So a lot of times children won't tell their parents or caregivers. So having a different adult who is trusted, who they can go to with a problem, is a really important indicator for having the support to be more resilient in other challenging or traumatic situations.
All right. Now I'd like to go back to the phones. We have Don from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello? Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm Don. I'm in Anchorage. And I'd like to put a little emphasis on the fact that at some point in our life, almost any one of us is a bully to some degree or another, be it a short or long period of time. I had three kids graduated from West High. I had some of them that went to school over here on the east side of town for a while. And I've seen some stresses that build up in the class and whatnot, not just from between the students, but in some cases it's pushed by one parent or another to show up their stamina, if you want to call it that, as being able to stand up on their own by being nasty to others. But there's also, I think, an element that I have not heard discussed yet this morning, and that is the fact that teachers also tend to get bullied, in some cases by kids, and in some cases by parents, and as well as occasionally by staff. And, of course, I've been up here for like 30, 40 years now, mm-hmm. so I'm covering a span that we may not have too many problems with right now. But it's the idea that it's basically a matter of mood control. It's a matter of an individual's psychological well-being at the time. Somebody comes to school or something in the morning, maybe they got up late, didn't get breakfast, whatever, or they left the house in a bad mood, and the next thing you know, they're taking it out on somebody else. And it's a matter of being able to constantly adjust your personality to your environment. And when you are out of sync with your your environment. And you're in a place where you're supposed to get along with other people, and you're there to learn about various topics in different classes, and you refuse to adjust to that, then you have a problem. A lot of this comes from the home. A lot of it is rebellion by way of the home or other circumstances.
Okay.
But you still have to learn to cope with it. And the biggest problem I've seen is that they are not teaching that they can overcome this. They get downtrodden, they become fearful, and the next thing you know, you got another bully on your hands. And maybe one who puts a cap on it for 30 years and goes out and kills a bunch of people.
And so, Lindsay, is one of the things that Don just said is that people aren't being taught the coping skills or the reaction skills. Is that true or not so much?
Well, Don, it's a great point that it's a really important piece to preventing incidences of bullying. So we often refer to that as social-emotional learning or skills or competencies, and it really gets at being self-aware, being able to self-manage those emotions, being socially aware and knowing what others are feeling, and making good decisions at the time. And those aren't just skills you have that you're born with, that you either have them or you don't. You can really work on them. And teachers in our school district have been incorporating social and emotional learning in the schools for a number of years, as do youth serving organizations and beyond. But those are definitely kind of the areas to develop and work on. And that gets back to adults being able to not only teach kids what those are, like naming their emotions, being able to identify what they are at the moment, but teachers or adults also modeling it and recognizing that if they're not doing it, it's really hard for a child to absorb the right things to do if they're seeing it done wrong. So we really have some programs in our community to help foster social and emotional learning skills so that people can be self-aware, make good decisions in the instant.
And another thing that's happening within the school district is, within the Anchorage school district, I'm not sure about others, is training schools to be trauma-informed. And so working with teachers and all school staff to not just say, oh, well, that kid's doing X bad behavior, it means that they're a bad kid, but also thinking about some of the things Don mentioned, that yes, life happens outside of school and that impacts behavior, and maybe if we react differently to that behavior, then the child can learn different skills and learn more skills to be resilient. We are going to take a quick break, and then we will be back at Talk of Alaska talking about bullying and how to prevent it and react to it.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. Support for public radio comes from the communities we serve. Whether you give as an individual member or through your business, know that your contribution makes possible programming that informs, inspires, and entertains. We thank you for the role you play in your public radio station.
ACPE's Education Loan Refinance can save you money and give you just one bill for all your private, state, and federal loans. The Alaska Refinance Loan offers Alaska residents a 4.95% interest rate with no fees. You choose between a 5, 10, or 15-year plan. Go to acpe.alaska.gov/radio or call 1-800-441-2962. This message sponsored by Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Today we're talking about bullying and ways to prevent it and ways to react to it. I have another clip from the Youth Voice Alaska podcast, and this is from a young woman who was growing up in the Philippines, and she actually, when she was really young, was a bully herself. So,
I grew up in the Philippines. I didn't grow up here in America, and I was raised by my grandparents. So, obviously, growing up without my parents and being raised by my grandparents, I grew up very spoiled and very bratty, and I had, like, this sort of entitlement feeling to like myself that I like, if I didn't get something, all I had to do was like throw a temper tantrum and then, you know, I'd naturally get it because that's just like how the way things worked at the time. So that's how I grew up. And by the time I was 6 or 7, I grew into something I am not very proud of. I grew up to become a bully. So maybe like at first, second grade, back in private Catholic school, a new girl came and her name was Angelica. And Angelica came and she was like bright smile. She was like, oh, I'd be friends with everyone. Like, oh my gosh. So she started hanging out with my group of girlfriends, like my little clique. And so she was like, oh yeah, I want to be best friends forever. Like, I want to be friends with all of you guys. And we were like, all right, okay, you'll be our friend, but if you do something for us first. So we took Angelica, me and my group of girls, took Angelica to the bathroom behind the campus, which is supposed to be the shady bathroom that no one goes into because it's ugly. So we took her there, and we took her into one of the stalls, and I was like, okay, if you want to be part of our group, you have to drink the toilet water. And I remember Angelica just looked at me like, are you serious? Like, she looked at me with like, she was horrified. Like, she couldn't even imagine like drinking the toilet water. And I was like, you have to do it. Like, you want to be part of our group, you have to drink the toilet water. And so she just looked at me and she started crying and she was like, I'll tell the teachers, like, you can't do this to me. And I was like, okay, you can tell the teachers, but I know them, they won't believe you. And I just like threatened her. I was like, if you dare open your mouth, I'll get you suspended. And I basically like threatened her, and like if she spoke to like another person about this, then like we'll ruin her social life, as if second graders had social lives.
So that was the story of Sheila and her own experiences bullying. When she moved to the United States, the tables were turned. She was teased and bullied instead. And this story kind of goes on to talk about how she dealt with bullying. Listeners, how have you dealt with bullying? Call us and let us know. 550-8422, 1-800-478-8255. Or maybe you've been a bully yourself. How did you react to that? So what are all your reactions to this story, Olive? Was it familiar to you in terms of things?
Yeah, I think it's really easy to fall into that cycle of bullying behavior when you're not completely secure with yourself. And if you're feeling a little insecure, that can go a long ways in terms of treating other people badly. So I definitely related with what she had to say. I've definitely been not the nicest person to be around because of my own insecurities and sort of taking that out on other people. So yeah, I related to what she had to say.
How about you, Madison? Have you seen that sort of bullying behavior in interactions in the community?
I personally have not experienced bullying, but I have a lot of friends who have and can definitely relate to the story.
All right. So we have an email with a question about bullying in the workplace. Can you talk more about how to deal with bullying in the workplace? In a climate of fear, it's hard to speak up against bullies, especially when the bully may be your boss and your job is at stake. How do we do that?
Sure. That's one of the hardest situations, absolutely, when it comes to adults trying to address it in the workplace, because so much is at stake. And it's a really clear instance of that power imbalance, especially if it's the director or whoever the supervisor is of the person. I'm not going to lie, it's really challenging. A lot of workplaces have harassment or discrimination policies. So there may be an instance that falls into those categories. There may be a grievance process. But a lot of workplaces don't have workplace bullying policies to prevent it. And that's really recognizing maybe those smaller type of instances where it's something that's small, but it's repeated, and it's to assert that power that isn't covered in harassment.
So, like, can you give an example? Because, I mean, obviously, like, your boss isn't going to tell you to drink toilet water or beat you up behind the school or, like, all those.
No, but they could be giving you maybe more of your workload that isn't part of your job responsibilities. It's not part of your duties, but it's something that repeatedly happens. And maybe the onus is put on you if it's not done, even though it's not your responsibility. So there could be kind of workload dynamics that can happen. And that doesn't necessarily fall into harassment or discrimination or the policies you already have in place. It is an instance of bullying. And if it's your boss who's doing it and you don't have policies or you don't have a board of directors or you don't have another place to go to kind of enact another policy, it gets really challenging. So we in our coalition are recommending different workplace policies to have. But it isn't the silver bullet. You can't just have a policy and everyone will enact it perfectly. You need to have some training and supports for your staff to then be able to identify and recognize incidences of workplace bullying, to then implement kind of a procedure to address them.
I would like to invite Libby onto the program. Libby, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate this program. It's awesome, and I came a little bit late into it, but I'm glad to hear everything I've heard so far. And I guess I come in at the right moment because I simply wanted to call and offer some resources that are out there.
Great.
I am the director of something called the Difficult Dialogues Initiative at UAA. And what that has meant is I've gone around the U.S. and even to South Africa to work with faculty on how to help students talk about really difficult things in the classroom mostly. And in the process of doing that, and also we also work on indigenous ways of teaching and learning. Mm-hmm. But in any event, when going around, people were really delighted with those resources, and I trained them in some skills and strategies, and that was fabulous. But they routinely would say, that's great, and we'll use it in the classroom, but that's not where our most difficult dialogues are. They're back in our departments with our colleagues, with mm-hmm. administrators, with our staff, and so forth. So along the lines of what you're saying, eventually we ended up putting out a book on resources for addressing faculty-to-faculty bullying in higher education, and a movie that was developed with local actors. It's a really nicely done movie on the most common forms of bullying that goes on in an academic setting. And it's for the reason that she just mentioned, which is most universities, which are just one form of a workplace, but they have some unique aspects to them. Mm-hmm. They may have policies in place, but they don't have protocols, right? So everybody knows you shouldn't do it, but nobody knows what to do when somebody does do it. And it's very tricky adult to adult, even trickier than school settings, and it's very tricky in academia in many ways because it's a unique kind of workplace culture. So in any event, there's a lot of background information. The book is called Toxic Friday, and the film is attached if that's useful.
And would those be useful for students or also for outside of the academic setting?
Well, in my opinion, it's the same game wherever you find it, really. And so, yes, I think it's deeply transferable. And in response to something she said earlier, one of the elements, and it's not so much a part of the book, but that I do these trainings now with people, is mm-hmm. bystander training, which I'm sure they do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's helping people who aren't in positions of power interrupt, respond to instances of bullying, support the people around them who need support, and so forth. So yes, I think it's all transferable. Everything I've read, there's a Workplace Bullying Institute out there. There's mm-hmm. lots of resources online. And people are really just trying to figure out how do we interrupt mean, violent, irrational human behavior, kind of mm-hmm. wherever we find it. And of course, some of us are finding it even at the top level of political leadership these days. We've kind of got a bully in chief in some ways who's modeling these kinds of behaviors. And we have to figure out how to respond as a collective.
Well, so I'd like to hear from Olive and Madison. What skills do you have to respond to this? Or what skills do you wish would be taught more often?
I think just intervention. As teens, we're very susceptible to what other people are doing. So if we see someone just sitting back and letting bullying happen, we're more likely to sit back and do the same. But it really just takes that one person stepping up and saying, that's not okay, we don't do that here, and that can make all the difference.
Madison, what about you?
So I went through some training earlier this year before we started working on our project with the posters that we're releasing soon. And one of the things we were taught about intervention is you can really do anything, just get involved. You can talk to the person, anyone who's involved, like the person who's being bullied or the person who is displaying bullying behavior. You can talk about a movie, you can tell your favorite joke. Just get involved, distract them, and talk about something else. Or you can separate them, like say, hey, come talk to me about this, either one of them. It doesn't matter. Just get them away from each other and talk about something else.
All right. Lindsay, are there other best practices?
Well, that definitely resonates, the distract in Jaden's story, the karate superhero that stepped in, distracted. Some instances you can also be direct as, you know, a bystander and do what Olive said, hey, don't do that. You may also need to delegate, especially as adults, and if you've witnessed bullying and it can escalate and turn into other forms of violence, maybe delegating by going to someone else, a police officer, a security guard, store manager, wherever you're seeing it, those kind of skills for intervention make all the difference, and adults need them just as much as kids.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'd like to go back to the phones. Iris and Metlakatla. Iris, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi, I'm a mother of five children. My youngest one is the last one in our going to school, and mm-hmm. she's been bullied from third grade all the way up to current. When she attended school here from third grade to eighth grade, I was in and out of the offices, and to a point where I got awareness about cutting, you know, self-harm to mm-hmm. themselves because of, you know, her being made fun of and everything, and I didn't get anywhere, but she was told to go get counseling, and I finally got fed up and asked, well, what about the bully? There are the bullies that are doing this here. And to this day, I heard terrible stories about a child that got beat up on the bus, and it took her a year to get back on the bus. And I finally did something about it because it escalated so bad. Mm-hmm. In September, I almost lost my daughter because the bullying escalated, and we got served with a restraining order. And when I went to court, you know, a restraining order, it should have never went there. It should have been talked between both parents. And Mount Catlett does have a criminal code for harassment, intimidation, or bullying, and I read the definitions of exactly what they are with the ordinance. And what happened to us, I didn't want anything to happen to anybody else that was going through this year. It was a cry for help of what happened, and I didn't like what happened to us because the restraining order was put on us, and my daughter's been the victim for all those years.
But the restraining order was against her?
Yeah, against both of us.
Okay.
And, you know, even though I did mention in court what had happened, the restraining order was still put on us. But after all that we went through, I didn't want to let my daughter down, so I went to our law and order committee. We do have that harassment, intimidation, and bullying ordinance. And I told them what had happened to us should have never happened. It should have been two parents talking to each other. And let's change that because a restraining order, you know, and like mm-hmm. we're at the state of Alaska, you file a restraining order, both parties go to court, and it's up to the judge whether it was, you know, we didn't do anything but took a stand. I stood up for my daughter, and mm-hmm. I've always have. I've been, in, you know, against bullying for a long time. But I told them what I want done is zero tolerance in the school starting at mm-hmm. a young age from Head Start to 12th grade because you see it at every age. And what I requested was that what I want it done is to start a juvenile code. That way, you know, because if we violated our restraining order, it was going to be a $5,000 fine and kicked it, removed off our island for 6 months if we violated our restraining order. And I didn't want anybody to go through what we went through with me almost losing my daughter. That
Iris,
was hard enough.
Iris, thank you so much for sharing your story. We are going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to talk about some of those suggestions that you put forward about parent-to-parent conversations and about what a zero-tolerance policy looks like and how that works. So we're going to be a quick break, and then we're going to come back with reactions to your comment. Thank you for calling.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Open enrollment for the health insurance marketplace in Alaska is now through Friday, December 15th. Enrollment assistance is available and it's free. Visit getcoveredalaska.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Children's Trust.
4 out of 5 Alaskans addicted to heroin started by using prescription opioids. Common opioids include hydrocodone, oxycodone, morphine, fentanyl, and codeine. Safely getting rid of unused opioid medications prevents anyone from taking them without permission, which could endanger them and lead to consequences with law enforcement. Find out more at opioids.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the State of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We just had Iris on the line, and Iris was saying that her daughter had been bullied for years, and it had gotten to the point where there was a legal intervention, and she thought that maybe it could have gone a different way. And one of the things that she suggested was maybe having conversations between parents to stop it before it got to a legal situation. Lindsay, does that work?
Well, it really is hard to say in every instance. I'm sure there are families out there where that is what worked for them and they swear by it. Some of the best practices and resources that you can find on stopbullying.gov and a lot of the research we've done on this issue actually does not recommend that parents reach out to the other parents.
Why?
And so the reasons are if a young person is engaged in bullying, there may be a reason they're doing that. So they could be experiencing it at home. They could be experiencing other types of abuse. So going to the other parent may bring more repercussions on their child, which could then be brought back against your own child from that child. So it really isn't a clear cut. If you both come together and as parents talk from a good place, that may work, but that may not be the case. It sounds really like what Iris had said in there was, what about the bully? What about the person who was doing the bullying? Because they often need just as much support as the person who receives the bullying. So other mental health services or other supports for that child may have been required or a better way to go than just parent to parent. It's another reason why zero tolerance policies are also not highly recommended. Those are if someone is bullying another child, that the program or the school that they're in would say, you're out. You're no longer accepted in our program or in our school. And that may, again, be putting that child in more risk if their family situation isn't healthy, or it's removing them from the opportunity to learn. It's really more about teaching the behaviors that are necessary, some of those social-emotional skills, and providing the mental health services or support that child may need.
And I'd like to invite one more caller on, MJ from Ketchikan. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. MJ, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to keep my comments brief. I know it's late. And then I will get off so you can address. First of all, I think we need to spend some time looking at the fact that we teach our kids to enjoy hurting others. We teach it by getting excited when kids get hurt in sports. Yes, get them, hurt them. We do it with our TV viewing, the things that we watch on TV. I think we need to spend some time teaching kids that joy and entertainment and hurting others is not a positive thing. Second, I'd like to say that, believe it or not, there are some positives to bullying in that, I mean, we vote them into office repeatedly. Don Young is a bully. Absolutely. Donald Trump is a bully. I'm not saying whether they're effective or not. If we can learn to look at these assertive behaviors and teach them to use them for good and teach them to use their assertiveness in positive ways, then we can help these kids who are strong personalities and who are using them for bad to then use it for good. And I think that could be a real positive thing for our culture and our communities. Teach these kids that they are the ones who can stand up for others. Teach these kids how they can do positive things with that strength of character that they have. Give them a role that uses that strength. Another thing, I just want to mention this one really briefly. You didn't talk about the bully who is friendly, then not friendly, then friendly, then not friendly. That is very destabilizing because then the child never knows. They're on a moving carpet all the time. They never know when it is a safe environment. Anyway, those were just my comments. It's great to hear this, and thank you so much.
Thanks. What are your thoughts on her ideas? Redirecting aggression into something a bit more positive and supportive. Olive, have you seen that happen in school? Or have you seen teachers try to do that?
I think there are always going to be those kids in the class that are a little bit louder and more aggressive than others. And I think that's a really good idea that needs to be channeled into something that's positive and not negative. So maybe put them in debate or something like that, where they're using that aggression for good and not for bad.
And Madison, she also said that violence is celebrated in our society, and that's prized. Have you, growing up, seen that? Do you think that has an influence on the young people around you?
I think that violence is definitely celebrated in the shows that we watch on television and what people see when they're outside. One of the things that I see a lot is parents telling their children when they grow up to work hard so that they don't end up like someone else, instead of saying, work hard so you can make life better for everyone else. I think that's a really big issue that we have as a culture, and it's something parents should definitely work on. Don't work hard to be a jerk. Work hard to make everything better.
And Lindsay, do you have any final thoughts on ways that we can help prevent bullying and redirect ideas?
Yeah, MJ brought up the issue of empathy. So we can teach empathy, and we know that is a really important ingredient for bullying prevention. And it's recognizing that not only do you know what feeling someone is having, you can really relate to it. You can recognize that you don't want to create that and step away from that. And that is something, if you teach kids empathy, if you redirect their tendencies to more positive spaces, that is preventing bullying from happening in the future.
All right. Well, I would like to thank everybody for joining us on the program today. This has been Talk of Alaska. We were talking about bullying and bullying prevention. My guests were Lindsay Hyduke with Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, Olive Sponholtz, a senior at West High, and Madison Dooley, a ninth grader who's homeschooled, both of whom are working on anti-bullying campaigns. Thanks for joining us.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Wells Fargo, with over 13,000 ATMs and more than 6,000 branches coast to coast. For a branch location near you, visit wellsfargo.com. Colder temperatures are here, and the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation reminds you of the danger of carbon monoxide, a poisonous gas that you can't see or smell. If it builds up in your home, it can be deadly. Be safe this winter and have a qualified mechanic ensure your heating system is working properly. Never run your car in the garage or operate a portable generator in an enclosed space. Finally, always ensure your home has a working carbon monoxide detector. This message sponsored by AHFC.
From one end of Alaska to the other and everywhere in between, public media works to provide quality programming and statewide news you can count on and news you can trust. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or in the car, we're grateful to be a part of your day. Thank you for tuning in. This program is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400. This is Alaska Public Media.